5-1.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here. And we have a banger of a guest today, somebody I've known for a long time. Awesome to finally catch up with him. You guys are probably following him on social media. Massive influencer, author. He also off-road races on the side. But Sean Whalen going to be on the show. And I got to tell you, if you're not following this guy on Instagram, you're definitely missing out. You know, he definitely lays it all out there. We'll give you guys a fair warning. There are some four-letter words in the interview, so we're definitely not PG-13 today. But when you hear this interview with Sean, you will know why. So, yeah, once again, Jim Beaver here. We got Sean Whalen going to be on the show today. Thank you guys for checking us out here. If you haven't already, please go over to iTunes, subscribe to Project Action there, and make sure and leave a rating or review. If you leave your rating or review, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review. When I see that, I will follow you back on social media. So leave a rating or review and leave that Twitter, Instagram username and you'll get a follow from me. Speaking of following me on social media, it is at JimBeaver15 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I've also got a Facebook group where we talk motorsports and action sports. And I also have a second Instagram account at Down and Dirty Show. Speaking of the Down and Dirty radio show, I've got a second show. If you're tuning into Project Action, thank you. Also got my national show, also on iTunes, but it airs on networks across the country and on my website as well. Website is downanddirtyshow.com. So thank you guys once again for tuning in here. And we have a, it is going to be a really, really good interview. Lots of fun. I am definitely stoked on it. But before we get to that, I got to tell you about a couple of our amazing partners here in Project Action. You know, and October 1st means one thing in sports: excitement. NFL, college football, MLB playoffs, every pitch, every swing, every play is important. You don't want to miss out on the action and the fun, so head over to betonline.ag today to make your online wagers and take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code PODCAST1 and receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's PODCAST1 and receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. betonline.ag. The biggest names, the biggest teams, the biggest moments are all happening all month long in October. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Use promo code PODCAST1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus. That's BetOnline.ag. And you know, here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil, it'll clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve your gas mileage. And you know what? You can place your key fob to your chin and increase its range. That's all weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, you can see what others paid so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. You're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy new or used, check out TrueCar and enjoy my confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up the milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. The good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, that's you listening to this, could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket may just be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And you know, we have to talk about AMSOIL. You know the importance of using a good synthetic oil in your power sports equipment, but what about your daily driver? Today's downsized turbocharged engines run hotter and create more engine-damaging contaminants than ever before. Yesterday's motor oil just doesn't cut it in today's engines. That's why you need AMSOIL synthetic motor oil. Teams in Monster Energy Supercross, AMSOIL Championship Snowcross, and more rely on AMSOIL synthetic motor oil to protect their engines on the track and in the haulers that get them to the races, and so should you. Amsoil's signature series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by a leading industry standard. Provides next-level protection today's demanding engines need to keep running for years. Go to Amsoil.com/Beaver and find out how Amsoil synthetic motor oil keeps your vehicle running great tomorrow. All right, so we are going to roll right now into this amazing interview with Sean Whalen. Strap in, because it is one hell of a good time. All right, I'd like to welcome my guest this week to the line. I think, we're going to air part of this in the Down and Dirty Radio Show, part of this on Project Action. So, Sean Whalen, welcome to the show, my friend. I know you and I were talking a little bit before we went on air, but finally glad to catch up, man.
Likewise, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while. We've been following each other on social media for a couple years now. We got a lot to talk about because you're kind of like me, man. You are all over the place, and I want to kind of – I mean, I know everybody knows Sean Whalen now, but I kind of want to dive into kind of Sean Whalen before because I feel like there comes a point in everybody's life, and I know I felt that, and, we'll get into, I had a six-figure job, and I just kind of walked out on it and said, I'm going to go and do something that I actually enjoy, there was a point in my life where flipped the switch. But with you, dude, take us back because, I know the Sean Whalen that we've got now isn't the Sean Whalen that people, that people say 20
yeah.
years ago would have known. I mean, kind of give us a background on you and, kind of your upbringing and what, brings us to today, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 10-hour podcast, so we'll try and do it in like 3 minutes. But I was raised like everybody else, man. Your typical middle class mom and dad, go to school. Here's what normal looks like. Sit down, shut up, do what you're told, kind of a deal. And my parents split up when I was an early teenager, and I just kind of decided to become a hellion and go crazy like pretty much everybody else. But I was raised the same way that everybody else was raised. And this is kind of what's fascinating about the conversation that I have today with Lions Not Sheep is, this is what normal looks like. And I led that life, right? I got the job, I did the deal, I started the business, I made some money and found the woman and built the relationship and the life and the whole thing. And by the time I was 31 years old, I basically burned everything to the ground. I wasn't happy. I was really successful at a young age. My parents split up, so I was pretty much raised in a single parent home and always was hustling, always was grinding, and found a lot of success in business. I found that I was really good at it. I was very ingenuitive, thought outside the box, and did very well there and built kind of this little empire. And by all of the world's standards, I was successful. I had the houses, I had the cars, I had the money, I had everything. And I was basically burning my world to the ground without even knowing it. And as we hear, burning the candle at both ends. And I just recently wrote a book and I talk about how I felt like I was juggling bowling balls, the home life and the work life and trying to be the best dad, then trying to be a good entrepreneur. And do I need to work 100 hours a day or do I need to be home 100 hours a day? And it just became a really, really heavy thing. And eventually, I was 31. I decided to pretty much burn my entire world to the ground. I left my marriage. I left my business. We were doing $25 million a year of revenue, flipping houses and doing very, very well. And I walked in one day, I turned my entire company over to my minority ownership business partner, and never looked back. I literally never even cleaned out my office. I walked away. I filed for divorce and pretty much spent 2 years with my head up my ass trying to figure out why I was even here. Like, what's the purpose of this? I had everything that I was supposed to have. Why was I not happy? I did everything I was supposed to do that I was told to do that I was told would be like euphoria land, happy land. Why was I not happy? And that kind of brought me to, where I am today. And I couldn't be more grateful, man. I know it sounds nuts. People always ask me if you could go back, and start over and whatever. I'm like, I wouldn't know what I know now had I not gone through all that. But I'm eternally grateful that I went through the experiences that I did, that I burned my world down, because I now have a significantly different appreciation of life and outlook of life. And like you said, the guy that I was before was your 100-hour, 120-hour a week guy who had everything because that's what I thought I was supposed to have. And now I'm the guy who does whatever the fuck he wants, whenever he wants, because it's what he wants to do. So It's been quite a journey, man. This life thing is pretty freaking fun.
Yeah, you know, and that's funny because there's so many similarities between the two of us. But I think a lot of people on the outside, they look in and they just see money and they see a house and they see a car and they're like, they've got it made, you know. But they don't understand, you know, in between those four walls, you know, and inside of you, like, you know, you're just rotting away. You just feel like pieces of you just losing it every single day. And, you know, and like you said, there's something about that freedom. And I know I've experienced it, you know what I mean, in the last, you know, 5 years, you know, since whatever, I can't even tell you what the hell my job is at this point. You know, it's what hat am I wearing what day, but it's enjoyable, right? I mean, everything I do, it's because I want to do it. It's not because somebody told me I have to do it. It's a, you know, it's a decision that I made, and because I'm making that decision, I'm happy with it, right or wrong. You know what I mean? It's my choice. And you know, when people get that freedom, I mean, I can't even explain it to other people. You just have to live it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is what's interesting, and it doesn't matter whoever's listening to this, whether you're, you know, 25 or 45. We're pretty much all raised the exact same way, if you really stop and think about it. And if you, and whoever's listening to this, I mean, think back to when you were a kid. I mean, the instructions were, you go to school, sit down, quiet down, stay in your desk. If you need to go to the bathroom, raise your hand, grab a hall pass, right? It's just this social programming of doing as you're told. And so we're, you know, the crazy thing is, like, our parents even supported that, right? Like, if you think about being in school, if you got in trouble in school, they'd call your parents, and then your parents would, you'd get in trouble at home too. So with this social programming that we've been through since we were literally babies of what to do, what not to do, what normal looks like, what normal is, doesn't look like, right? Like, this is abnormal, this is normal. And so we literally spend our entire lives in this social conditioning and the social programming. I mean, literally think about it, 12 years of elementary, middle, and high school of sit down, quiet down, slow down. And then you get into high school and it's like, okay, now here's the next chapter. You need to go to college. You need to get educated, because if you don't get an education, then you're going to be a fucking failure. You'll never amount to jack shit. So then you go get a degree and whatever, whatever, and then get a wife and a house and a car and a thing and a job and work for somebody for 40 years. And if you're lucky, you know, you'll get a gold watch and retire. And if you stop and think about that, I mean, just look at our society right now. People aren't happy. I mean, male suicide is at an all-time high. 51% of marriages are ending in divorce. Why? Why are we not happy? And I truly believe if you strip away all of the layers of bullshit, it's simply because people have done what they've been told to do, but there's more to life than that. Yeah. Like, we've been programmed by people that did the exact same thing. They were told what to do, then they just passed it along. And, you know, it's been a really interesting experience for me, kind of stepping outside of that norm and saying, it's kind of like the Matrix, right? The movie, The Matrix, like, what's normal and what's not? Are we in the Matrix, or are we, like, is the goal of life to get out of this Matrix and do our own thing? But, you know, I've never been healthier. I've never been happier. I've never had a stronger relationship with my children. My business is thriving, and I literally do whatever the fuck I want. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to wrap their head around, but, like, imagine the person listening to this who's working the 9-to-5. How good of a father are you really while you come home and you hate your job? You wake up pissed. You come home pissed. Life is just pissed. That's not why we're fucking here, man. That's not the purpose of this existence, you know, but breaking out of that thought process and becoming, if you will, quote unquote, a rebel. We don't do that because if you think all the way back to when we were kids, if we did that on the playground, if we did that any other time, we got in trouble. So now we're grown ass adults afraid to do what we want to do, live how we want to live, because we're going to get in trouble. It's really insane if you stop and think about it, but we could spend hours and hours and hours and go down this rabbit hole. But that's something that I'm radically passionate about, not only in my own life, but with my coaching and with Lions Not Sheep and what I do now and coaching men and women to really break out of this thought process and do stuff that they want to do because they want to do it versus what they've been told to do.
Yeah. Well, and I think a big part of that too, you talked about, you know, being scared, you know what I mean, to break away. But part of it too is people are so damn worried about what the fuck somebody on the outside is going to say. They're worried about, oh, right, shit, somebody, you know, they might say this. There's something liberating about just not giving a flying fuck what somebody tells you. You know what I mean? Like, what they think about you. Like, I don't care. I'm me. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be upfront. If you don't like it, fine. You know, I got a lot of friends that I disagree with, and they're some of my closest friends because we disagree. We can agree to disagree and still be friends at the end of the day. But, you know, I'm not PC. I'm not, you know, I'm not putting something out there that I think somebody else wants to see or hear. I'm just putting out there what's on my mind and what makes me happy, you know?
Right. Well, think about it. I mean, look, this is something that I coach and I teach and I speak to groups and people all the time about. Like, you're going to be judged either way. And this is something I'm really, like, intrigued with life, because most people, like, they say, well, oh, I'm afraid to fail, or I'm afraid to do this. You know, I just got done speaking to 700 people out in L.A. a couple weeks ago, and I asked a question. I said, how many of you have failed before? And literally everybody in the room raises their hand. I'm like, well, how many of you are like me and you've failed or you've fucked up a lot of times? And literally everybody raises their hand. If you stop and think about it, like, we're experts in failing. We've failed in so many different things in our life. We're not afraid to fail because we've already done it. Like, we're not afraid. Most people have lost money at some point in time or had heartbreak or weight issues or whatever. We're not afraid of that. What people are definitely afraid of is the judgments of others.
Yep.
We're afraid to start the business because what if it doesn't work? Or what if I do lose some money? Then Cousin Larry and Uncle Bob are going to be like, ha ha, see, I told you. Or what if this happens? Or what if that happens? But when you really stop and think about it, like, really peel back all the layers, you're going to be judged either way. And this is something that really changed my life a few years ago when I understood this, is that I'm going to be judged no matter what I do. Like, if I'm rich, people are going to look at me and be like, oh, well, he must be a con artist. He must have stole from people. He must be, like, peddling fucking snake oil or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm poor, the opposite side, I'm lazy. I'm undisciplined. I'm addicted to pornography or just some crazy shit. Like, I'm going to be judged whether I'm rich or I'm poor. Well, if I'm fat, it's because I'm unhealthy. I have bad habits. I eat like shit and I'm lazy. But if I'm ripped, if I'm in really good shape, it's got to be because I'm taking steroids and I'm on drugs or because I have this natural ability or whatever. Like, no matter where you are, no matter where you are, you're being judged. And people are going to judge you no matter what. So, like, I just stepped back and I was like, dude, what the fuck do I want? Like, what do I really want? What makes me happy? Cool, I'm going to go do that. And I know that people are going to judge me either way. And so, like, race car driving, I mean, having an off-road truck. I didn't know shit about that, man. I knew people would laugh. I knew people would say I'm crazy. I knew people would say I didn't know what I was doing because I didn't know what I was doing. But I wanted to do it, and I did it. And I've had more fun doing that than ever before. But most of those people that I'm judging end up calling me going, hey, man, dude, can I come pit for you? Like, how do I come have fun? You know, whatever, whatever. But this is something that's really, really, really important that I think people understand, is that, you know, you've already failed in life. People have already failed. We're not afraid to fail. We've already done it. What we're afraid of is judgments of others. But when you really stop and think, like, people are going to judge you no matter where you are or what you do. I mean, how many people grow up, I don't want to say poor, but don't have a lot of money, and then all of a sudden they invent something or they have all this money and all their family's mad and their brothers and sisters start, like, mocking them or judging them. But even if that person was poor, if that person went the opposite way and lost their job and became a lazy sack of shit and didn't do anything, those same family members are going to judge them for being a lazy sack of shit. Like, this is something that's just, like, really, really, really insane to me, how many people are so wrapped up around what other people think of them and the judgments of other people that it literally paralyzes them into doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that being said, one thing I've learned is people don't like to see other people succeed. And it's crazy. It's because they want them to be brought back down to where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with, like you'd said, me with starting businesses and starting things, you know, you get criticized up front. Why are you going to do that? That's never going to fucking work. That's stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then you do it and those same people are asking you for jobs. But, you know, it's like, hey, I want to go do something fun and I think I'm going to suck at it, but I'm going to put in the time and I'll figure it out. And eventually I know I'll at least be competent at it. I'm not saying I'm going to be an expert, but, you know, I'll put in the time to at least, you know what I mean, not make a fool out of myself. But there's going to be a year or two where I'm going to fucking suck at it, you know, but I'm willing to put in the work. But most people won't go out on that limb because they don't want to have the failure for 2 years to finally succeed, you know, in the end, you know. So it's like, instead of putting myself out there, it's like, I'll just stay in my little box here. You know what I mean? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys, like, I don't care if I look like a fool for a couple of years. I'm going to have fun. As long as I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm experiencing things, like, I'm good with it, you know. And most people, they won't do that. They want to stay in their cubby hole that's safe, you know, with their little padded walls. And they just don't want to go and step out of the box because they're scared shitless.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know? So, I mean, take me through what you're doing now, though, because obviously, you know, we got a lot to talk about with off-road racing and everything else. I know, you know, recently, dude, I wanted to write a book for so long. You stepped out. You wrote the book, How to Make Shit Happen. I mean, just writing a book, I know what goes into it because I've done a lot of writing in my life. Man, I mean, how was that for you? I mean, how long did it take you to write the book? And, I mean, what was the process? What was the thinking behind it? Like, you know, because a lot of people hire, like, a ghostwriter and, you know, they'll spill their thoughts. And, you know, I mean, you know, tell me about this book, because I think a lot of people go, oh, so-and-so wrote a book. I don't think they really realize to go and actually write a book what it takes.
Oh, man, it was literally like 4 years to write that book. And what I mean by that is I'd start and then I'd stop and I'd start and I'd stop and I'd have this like, all right, I'm going to write about this, and I'd start and then I'd stop and then I'd write about this and I'd write about that. And it's hard, man. It's so freaking hard, especially when you have things that you want to share or you do have expertise in something. It's literally been like just this mental masturbation for years, like not knowing where to go. And the end of last year, in November, actually, I had a friend who I was talking to, and I was talking about this. I'm like, dude, I want to write a book. I feel like I'm supposed to write a book. Like I'm supposed to like share, but I don't know what, like, and should I talk about my divorce? Should I talk about suicide? Should I talk about my, you know, bankruptcy and how I went from millionaire to broke to back, you know, building again. And he said to me, he said, if you could share one message with the world, what would it be? If you could only share one thing with the world, what would it be? And it just, boom, my brain exploded. I already knew what that was. And I sat, so from the time that I sat down and put the first words on paper to the time that the actual hard copy of the book was available in Amazon was 5 weeks.
Wow.
So that's including editing, writing the entire thing. I literally became like this possessed freaking nut job where I just sat down and just barfed everything out. It was like, just ran with it because I got super clear on it. Like, and I think that's what holds a lot of people back from writing a book is they feel like they have to put everything in there. And when my friend said that to me, I knew exactly what that lesson was. It was core four. It was this system and this process that I learned about years ago that helped me radically change my life, which is now what I coach on with Lions Not Sheep and this whole thing of, you know, power, passion, purpose, and production. And so I sat down and I smashed this thing out. What's really interesting, a lot of people don't know this, but the books were actually shipping to people before I ever even got a draft copy of it. So there were literally people writing Amazon reviews of my book before Amazon sent me my draft copy of it. We knew that it had been edited. We had the digital, you know, PDF version of it.
Yeah.
But I literally, there were multiple people, there were 40 or 50 people that had ordered the books that had the book in their hand before I ever even saw a copy of it, which to me was like, that's just me, right? Like, it's almost fitting how it all worked because that's my style. The funny part is, about 3 weeks after the book launched, it launched on February 1st. About 3 weeks after, I was reading some of the reviews on Amazon. And one of the reviews was like, dude, the book is amazing. It's great. It's like changed my life. But did anybody else notice that there's no page numbers? And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? So I opened up one. At this point in time, I had like dozens and dozens and dozens of books, right? Like I had boxes of them coming to me because I was buying them and giving them to friends and signing them and sending out signed copies to people. And so I opened up a book and I was like, shit, there's no number. So I opened up probably 30 or 40 books. There's no page numbers. So I call my editor and I'm like, hey, how come there's no fucking page numbers in the book? She's like, no way, get out of here. She puts me on hold and she goes and like grabs the book. She's like, holy shit, there's no page numbers. And I was like, why is there no page numbers? And she's like such a freaking angel. She's the sweetest lady. And I'm so glad that I wrote this book with her because the stars aligned, man. Like when you actually start listening to the universe, it puts the right people in front of you. And it was perfect. And she just was on the phone with me. She's like, I completely forgot to put page numbers in the book. And we both laughed our asses off. We're like, this book's a number one bestseller. It's selling more copies than dudes that have like Westinghouse publishing deals. To this day, we've sold almost 60,000 copies of this book in the last 6 months, which is unheard of. It's literally unheard of to have that happen. And I have no page numbers in the book. And so when people are like, where's that? You know, when I share a lesson out of it, I'm like, it's in this chapter because I can't tell them a page number to go look at. So it's so me and it couldn't have turned out better, but it is definitely scary as shit to write a book, because you can do a Facebook post and you can delete it, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of disappears. But like when you write a book, it's done. It's there. Your words are in ink. They're on a page. They're not moving. They're not going anywhere. And I can't go to 60,000 houses and take my copy back, you know? And so it's definitely a scary thing, but I'm so freaking glad I did it. I'm so glad that it turned out the way that it did, and that it was like this rogue thing that just ended up being, you know, wildly successful. And the other thing that I really feel passionate about, and for people that want to write a book that you want to read.
Yeah.
That's something that, like, I hate long 300-page books that only have 4 or 5 nuggets in there, but have 50 pages of filler. Like, I love really short, clear, concise, direct books. As a Man Thinketh, Steal Like an Artist, any of these books that I recommend through social media, that was the book that I wrote. So my book it's like larger font. It's like, it's double spaced. Like, it's literally a book that I wanted to read. And yeah, man, it's been awesome. It's been so much fun writing this book and seeing really how it's affected so many people.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's truth, not just for writing a book, but for anything, you know, do something you want to read.
Yeah.
Like, I know me, when I started a radio show and a podcast and everything I've done, I'm like, I want to do something that I would listen to. You know what I mean? It's not what other people
right.
tell me that it should be, because fuck, I know I told everybody in the beginning told me my format was going to fail. I'm like, no, this is what I would listen to. And I did that, and it's worked. I mean, 7 years later, I'm making a ton of money. But
yeah.
I know with you in the book, it's that you wrote something you want to read. And I think that's something to be said in anything in life. You know what I mean? Like, especially in business,
yeah.
you know what I mean? I think people try and fit into these, you know, into these formats, into these little boxes, you know what I mean? And it's like, no, like, I think the people that actually are successful, the ones that go, no, we can flip the script on this and we can do something a little bit different. But
I totally agree. I mean, look, just that parallels what we were talking about earlier. If you think about like the box, like, what success is supposed to look like. Like, this is what we've been told since we were kids. Like, you get a job. Like, success is a 9-to-5 job. It's making $70,000 a year and having dental insurance and a 401k and a pension. Like, that's success. But if you really look at it, like, look at the people that have dented the universe. They were the most disobedient, rogue motherfuckers out there, right? there was a dude who said, I'm going to go from Discman and Walkmans to, I'm going to put 1,000 songs on this little plastic device and put it in your pocket. And people are like, that's never going to fucking work. You're out of your mind. And, you know, fast forward to Steve Jobs, and he's completely revolutionized technology. He's completely revolutionized how we fucking work and function. I mean, when's the last time somebody bought a digital camera? Like, why do you even buy a digital camera?
Because
your 8-megapixel fucking iPhone that you spent $1,000 on is better than all of them anyways. Like, who would have thought, right? So that's kind of what you're saying is dead on accurate. Like, people make fun of me for not having pages in my book. And I'm like, where's your fucking book, bro? And they don't have a book, right? So until you put a device in my pocket that gives me what I want, fuck off, Steve Jobs won that one. You know what I mean? Until you write a book that 60,000 people have read and loved and appreciated, that doesn't have page numbers, or you wrote it in crayon, fuck off, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
And it seems to be working. I have more fun, and a lot of people like it.
Yeah, well, and I got to say, on the next book, because I'm sure at some point you're going to write another one, the fucking thing can't have page numbers. Like, it's just...
Dude, I've already said it. I already declared it to God. I declared it to my editor. I said, no book that I ever write will ever have page numbers. And that's going to be my thing. It was a total accident, a total fluke, a total whatever. And I'm like, literally, every single time people make fun of me for that, I laugh my ass off, because I'm like, if you only knew how genius and brilliant and awesome it is to not have page numbers in my book and still be a best-selling author, dude, I love it.
Yeah, sometimes you accidentally stumble into something just rad, right?
One, it's just doing that, man. Yeah. And that's really the thing. Like, that kind of goes back to what you were saying, what I'm saying is, like, most people are just frozen and we're paralyzed in fear. And so we never do anything. We never take a risk. We never take you know how many people told Steve Jobs he was mad? He was absolutely out of his mind. And I bet you for a lot of his life, he probably believed that. But at some point in time, you got to flip that switch and say, okay, I might be crazy. I might be completely fucking nuts. But what if it works? What if I'm right? I mean, think about all of the people through history that have, like, changed the way that we do things. I mean, think about, you know, the Bill Gateses, I mean, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, like, who's going to use this and put their face and their picture and their information on here? This is just going to be this digital thing at Harvard. Well, now literally, like, people say to me, hey, here's my business card. I'm like, yo, I don't do business cards. Just hit me up on Facebook. Yeah. Like, I don't even want business cards terrify me. I hate them. Like, people pull them out of their wallet. I'm like, dude, put that thing away. I don't even want it. Right. Like, the way that we interact and the things that we do, it's totally defiant to the way the norm is, with the way we've been programmed to believe. And that's what I love about it, man. If you look at the people that are denting the universe, they're the ones that literally they don't give a shit, but they're doing stuff that is so different. That's what makes it beautiful. And, you know, most of these other guys, they have publishing companies and all this other stuff. And I'm like, dude, fuck it. Let's write a book with no page numbers.
Well, you know, and it's funny, you know, going back to what you were saying, you know, and about Steve Jobs and people think you're crazy and things like that. I was actually, and this is just me going off down fucking rabbit holes because that's what I do, but I was just reading something. They found Captain James Cook. They found his boat after like hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, and I started reading on this dude. People thought he was fucking batshit crazy. I mean, this is a guy that sails from England to Australia, you know, and maps shit mm-hmm. out. And people are like, they didn't even know half this shit existed, you know, and goes back to yeah. Christopher Columbus. Hey, I'm going to go across the ocean and I'm going to go and just see what the hell's over there. You know what I mean? People thought he was nuts.
Yeah.
You know, who are we still talking about today? You know what I mean? But it's guys exactly. like that that are, they're willing to fail, you know, they're all right chasing a dream and they're willing to fail. And I think that's the big thing is there's a risk factor in anything we do, you know, who's okay with the failure, and a lot of people aren't, you know, but people like Steve
Jobs.
There's
a risk factor walking across the damn street, man. You know how many people fucking walked across the street today that got hit by a car that weren't planning on getting hit by a car? Probably a lot. Like, think about how many people got hit by a car today around the world. I don't know the statistics on that, but somebody can look that up. I bet you thousands of people got hit by a car today doing what they've done every fucking day, not thinking they were going to get hit by a car. Life's dangerous, man. You know how many people choked on a hot dog and died today? I bet you literally right now, I swear to God, there's probably multiple people around the world that choked and died on a hot dog today. Like, dude, life is, it's not fair. It's not normal. It's not whatever. It's like, you if you live in that state of paralysis, if you live, you'll never walk across the street. You'll never eat food. If you really think about that, like, we eat food just because we're hungry and it's what we do, but people choke and die on fucking food. Like, nothing is really safe. Nothing is normal. So, like, this is why with what I do with Lions Not Sheep and coaching my clients and stuff, my biggest thing that I try and get people to do is to answer a question. And it's literally the most simple question ever, but it's probably the most difficult thing. I've seen billionaires who can't answer this fucking question. And the question is simply this: what do you want? Like, really think about that question. What do you want? Everybody fires off really quick. Well, I want money and I want freedom and I want safety and I want this and I want love and I want peace. Nah, man, what the fuck do you really want? And what's really fascinating about this conversation is like, as you start peeling away all of the social programming from human beings, it's really fascinating that what most people tell you they want isn't even close to what they want. They tell you what they've been programmed to tell you. Yeah. They tell you what they've been programmed to believe. Case in point, I had a client of mine who's, you know, very wealthy. She does about $2 million a year. And she's very successful, but kind of the last 2 years have been hard. And she kind of lost her way and she didn't feel good about herself. And long story short, she ends up hiring me and, you know, to coach her one-on-one. It's one of the things that I do in my business. She flies out to Utah, which is how my coaching works. And we spend all day. We start in the morning with breakfast. I'm like, okay, what do you want? What do you want? And this is like my goal, is to just strip away all of the social programming to get to the truth. Because at the end of the day, man, it's neither right or wrong. What you want isn't right or wrong. It's just what you want. It doesn't matter to me. What you want doesn't matter to me. And so halfway through the day, she gets super emotional. I mean, this is a successful lady. She's got 20 employees, you know, husband, kids, the whole thing. She totally breaks down and starts crying. I'm like, what's up? She's like, I know what I want now. I said, what? I mean, she paid a lot of money, like tens of thousands of dollars to come work with me in my business coaching. And I said, okay, what do you want? She's like, I want a horse. And I'm like, okay. You know, I'm smiling because I'm like, okay, great. We're getting there, right? We're peeling back some of these layers. I said, tell me more. She's like, it finally hit me. I said, what? She's like, when I started my business, I did what I was told. I studied every entrepreneur. I wanted to make all the right decisions and do all of the right things. And so I literally basically abandoned my life. All of my passions, my pursuits, my loves, I pretty much put all those on the back burner, and I dedicated myself to this job and to this company and to this business. And it worked well. She did well financially. But in the process, she lost herself. In the process, she stopped doing what she wanted to do. In the process of following the box and following the rules of being an entrepreneur, she literally gave up her entire life. And she had been born and raised around horses. She lives in Colorado, and she's always had horses, and horses had always been her therapy. They'd always been her thing, right? And because she followed the rules and followed the game plan of entrepreneurialism, she worked 20-hour days and went balls to the wall with this thing, and it caused her to lose herself, become depressed, gain a bunch of weight, and really not be happy. And so it's fascinating, this conversation, because she comes to me for this business and this growth and all this other stuff, and what ended up happening is I ended up telling her to go home and buy a horse. And she bought a horse, and literally her business has exploded with growth. She's getting into the best shape she's ever been in. Her marriage is on fire because she bought a horse. And that might sound really funny to some people, and they're laughing at this going, yeah, whatever, dude. Well, that's not me. That is you. That's every fucking human being. Because what we're doing is trying to follow these rules and follow what it is that we've been told normal or successful looks like. And so we don't answer that question, and we can't answer that question. What do I want? See, I want to race my truck. I want to play. Like, if you ask Sean Wheeler, what do you want? I want to play with my kids. I want to race my truck. And so, well, that's not that you can't, Sean. You have to have a job, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. Who says who? Yeah. Why can't I build a business that allows me to race my truck whenever the fuck I want? But see, that's what we don't do as people, and as a culture and as a society, we've been programmed the exact opposite, to do what we're told versus answering the question, what do you want? And I'm not kidding you, man. It was such a cool experience with her, just because it was so simple. And that's the thing that's really funny to me is like, we look at some of these people and they're different than us, or they're special, or this. They're not. You and I, we're not very different, man. And probably every dude listening to this, we'll probably all sit around the table, have a cigar, fucking drink whiskey. Yeah. We're probably all afraid of much of the same shit. Yeah. Something happening to our kids, you know, dying
right
early.
There, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, we all want the same thing. We want a good fucking steak and a warm bed to sleep in, right?
Yeah.
Like we're not that different. The reality is like, how far into the matrix, into this rabbit hole have we gone? And what I'm finding really fascinating is that so few people are going down that path, which is why they're so unhappy. And if you really stop and think about it, like, answer that question, not this rhetorical statement, but what do you really want? Everybody listening to this, answer that, what do you want? And I'd be willing to bet 99.9% of the answers that are being spit out right now are the very superficial. Well, I just want job security. I want my family to be safe. You know, I want peace. And it's all the same old bullshit, when really this lady who had everything just was like, I just want a fucking horse. And she had forgotten about it. She'd lost it, because that's not normal. If she had a horse, that meant that she was this yuppity lady who whatever, whatever. And really, that's who she was.
Well, and I know, you know, me, you know, a year ago, I actually had a really good friend of mine, you know what I mean, asked me to take, and this literally is kind of steamrolled this past year of my life, but told me, hey, Jimmy, take this personality test, Myers-Briggs personality test. It's like,
yeah,
80, 90 questions. I can't remember. It's a fucking long test, right?
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And there's some shit in there that you never thought of that you've got to answer, you know, and you answer it, comes back with your one of, you know, what, 16 personality types or whatever. But it was the best thing that ever happened, because then all these things that I've done through my life and things the past 5 years, I understood why I did them and why I think the way I do and the reason why I do things. And it's allowed me to be really self-aware when I'm doing things, how I process things, and really look in the mirror. And I don't mean look in the mirror. I mean look in the mirror and look in those eyes looking back at you and understand what's going on. And I don't think a lot of people, I think they get in a rut, and in their life they just go through the motions. It's wake up at 6 a.m., go to bed at 9:30 during the week, you know, have coffee in the morning, you know, you get an hour lunch break. And, you know, and I mean, look in the mirror and look at yourself and find out what the hell is really going on underneath, you know, underneath that skin. Because I think a lot of people, they're not self-aware and they really don't know how and why they do things, you know, and I think that's liberating, just knowing why we as people do what we do.
Well, just again, I mean, dude, you're dead on, man. Think about that question. What do you want? Like, this is what people ask me, what I'm, you know, what my superpower is or what I'm good at. That's what I'm good at. I'm really fucking good at helping people tell the truth because I lied so much. Like, and I became an expert in that because I went so far down the rabbit hole of lying to myself, to the world, that I see the polarity of it. But when you stop and really think about it, man, this isn't hippy dippy shit. A lot of guys listening to this, girls, you know, oh, dude, just pull your bootstraps up, right? Just go to work, man. Be a fucking man. Well, how's that working for most guys?
Yeah.
Again, male suicide is at an all-time high. How is it working for you, fella, to just, you know, yeah, just man up. Just fucking man up. Well, it's not working very good because your wife fucking hates you and you haven't been to your kid's soccer games in 4 seasons. So how's that manning up working? It's not. It's not working for us. It's not working for us as a culture, as a society. You know, and this is something that I firmly believe in, like what you're talking about. Get to who the fuck are you, man? What do you want? Like, what do you really, really, really want? And it's been a powerful thing for me because I'm not morbid. Like, I'm not like walking around, oh my God, I'm going to die. But a couple of years ago, I started really focusing on death and like focusing on my death. And what I mean by that is like, I believe in visualization. Okay. I did an Instagram post about this the other day and it's, tons of people have seen it and shared a ton. And I shared part of a Conor McGregor video because Conor McGregor is always talking about if you can see it and if you visualize it, and if you visualize it. And I used part of this video clip of him back in the dressing room, like practicing and shadowing his left hook right before he fought Jose Aldo. And he literally knocked him out with that left hook. And so I share with people, I'm like, listen, like you visualize shit. Like I see things. And it's not some weird hippy dippy thing, but I started thinking about death and like I visualized myself on my deathbed and it scares me, not because it's death, but what I'm terrified of is being on my deathbed, knowing that God put ideas in my brain and passion in my soul and I squandered it. I didn't do jack shit with it because I was worried about what Jim would think or Bob would think or Tom would think or what mom or dad or brother or sister would think. Like if you really visualize that, there will come a point in time that like you and I won't be able to get in the racetrack. We might want to, our mind might be there, but our body's like, nope, you're done.
Yeah.
Like when you really stop and think about that, that's coming to all of us. Like I always joke with people, like the thing that I'm the most afraid of is obviously something happening to my kids, but the bigger picture for me, the thing that I'm terrified of is being on my deathbed, which dude, I'm never going to be on my deathbed. I'm going to drive my truck off a cliff at 200 miles an hour, some crazy shit like that.
Dude, you and I are the same.
Yeah, we're not going to die on a deathbed, bro. I'm not going to be this old freaking grandpa, trust me. But really think about that. The thing that terrifies me is knowing that at some point in time, that day will come for me. And I just imagine myself laying on my deathbed, knowing at that point in time in life, I don't have an option. That fucking scares me. And if you're a dude who has kids, I want you to really think about that for a second. At that point in time in life, you now don't have options. If you're listening to this, if you woke up this morning, if your legs work, if your fucking fingers work, if your eyes work, if your dick works, like you have options today. And at some point in time, you're not going to have an option to get into the race truck with your kids. You're not going to have an option to fuck your woman the way that you want to fuck her and ravish her. You're not going to have an option to take your daughter out on date night and to take your boys out for guys night. You won't have that option. And that's the thing that scares me the most is like realizing that that day is going to come for me. And at that point in time, what most men do is they go into panic mode and they try and tell their kids, oh, go live a life, you know, be a good person. I love you. And go do all this other shit. But yet they've watched their dad for the last 30, 40, 50 years, just basically get run over by life and do as he's told. And at that point in time, kids don't give a shit what you say, man, because they've watched what you've done. And you know, that's coming for everybody. And what you said with the Myers-Briggs test and really getting to know yourself is so fucking crucial, man. It's so important. And it's not some hippy dippy bullshit, but I don't care if you're 25, 35, 45, 55 listening to this. If you woke up this morning you won the fucking lottery. You have options today. And what you do with those options is completely up to you. But I would highly suggest that at some point in time, you take 10 minutes out of your day, close your eyes and visualize your death. Like literally visualize laying on your deathbed as an old ass man, knowing that you can't move, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything, you can't ravish your woman, date your children, take them out, travel, show them the world, build the fucking rally cars. You can't do any of that. And that's the shit that should motivate you. That idea and that thought process is what should get you like right here, right now to say, now I'm leaving the office at 5, fuck the project, I can do it later. I'm taking the boys bowling tonight, or I'm taking my woman out tonight, or I'm going to stop on the way home and buy a $3 bouquet of fucking flowers to really show her that I love her, or go to my daughter's school and take her out to lunch. You know, there's so many guys that say, oh, I don't have time for that. I can't do that. Or I'll do it later. Well, you might not have options tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. And that's the thing that drives me right now in my life is knowing that that day will come. And like, while I have breath in my lungs and while I have the ability to do what I do, like in this moment right now, I'm going to do every single thing that I want to do. And literally give zero fucks what anybody think about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's one thing I've told, you know, and you and I could go down this and talk about this all day long, but it's one thing I've told people countless times, you know, they see where I'm at now and they go, hey, man, like, you know, that's awesome. And I look at them and I know what they're doing. And I'm like, look, I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. If you woke up, I'm like, you can change. I said, today, I said, you can flip that switch. You can change. You can make a difference. I said, if you don't like the path you're on right now, you can always switch paths. It may be fucking tough to do, and it may be, you know, it may be rough for a while, but you can fucking change paths. Nobody says you're stuck doing what you're doing every single day. You can always change. You just have to have enough balls to fucking do it. And, you know, that's the biggest thing I try and tell people, you know, but you got to man up and you got to look yourself in the mirror and know what you want, you know, before you can, before you can do that. So,
that's that question. What do you want? Yeah. Like, that's why I ask clients and I pose that question literally to thousands of people. I speak to people all the time and ask them that question. And it's fascinating how difficult it is for most people to answer that question.
It's definitely tough, man. And you know, it's like you said, to get the real answer out of people, that's what's tough. Cause everybody will give you that, you know, just the fucking, pageant queen answer, you know, I want world peace or on whatever, you know, that's not what we're looking for here, you know, and only, you know, the real answer to it. But yeah, we got to talk off-road trucks, dude, because you've mentioned it a few times. Obviously, I race off-road trucks. You race off-road trucks, man. With all the shit you're doing, I mean, I know my gateway into off-road. You know, my dad raced for 30-some years, you know what I mean? And, you know, and so I grew up around the sport, you know, and things like that. Dude, how did that gateway happen for you into the sport of off-road?
It's so crazy, man. It's such a freaking fun story, and it's been so much freaking fun the last 2 years. So I grew up in the city. I grew up in Washington, D.C. My dad worked for the government. I never fished with him. I never hunted. I never shot a gun. Like, I never rode a motorcycle. I was, like, forbidden from riding motorcycles because my aunt worked in an ER. And, you know, guy comes in with his leg dangling off. You're never going to ride motorcycles. And so, like, I didn't grow up around any of that stuff. And, you know, fast forward to now being older and an adult, and I'm, like, more intrigued by that. So in 2016, in the fall of 2016, one of my buddies who's here in Utah is very, very wealthy, very successful businessman, owns a trophy truck. There's a couple teams here in Utah, actually. He called me and he said, hey, man, you know, would you want to come down to the Baja 1000 with us and just come do some social media and kind of share some social media? So I've had almost 900 million views on my videos and had a bunch of stuff go viral and I have a huge social media following. It's part of what I do with my business is I do consulting and coaching with, you know, companies and public profile figures and stuff. So I, you know, that's a normal fit for people to say, hey, come teach me some social media. So this guy's got a private jet. He has trophy trucks. He's got, you know, $200,000 freaking pre-runner and, you know, his son drives razors and races razors and the whole thing. So I said, hell yeah, let's do it. So I jump on the jet with them. I go down. You know, he gives me a razor that I'm chasing with. And it's just such a freaking rad experience. I went down there with a couple other guys, while he was racing the 1000. So his son was racing in a razor and he was racing in a trophy truck. And he ends up coming in the trophy truck. He gets in a helicopter. He flies back out to co-drive with his son the last leg, you know, of the 1,000. And to make a long story short, I'm there at the finish line. They come in. His son's driving the Razor, and he's co-driving. And, dude, I got emotional. I was at the finish line like, fuck yeah, man. This is so badass. I mean, naturally, it's trucks. It's horsepower, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most guys love that shit. And it was fun to just be there. But I watched this dad and his son cross the finish line of one of the most difficult yet prestigious races on the planet. And I got super emotional. Like, I was crying. I was videoing and, you know, doing instant, you know, stories and social media and stuff. And I FaceTimed my son, who was 9 at the time, from the finish line. And I'm FaceTiming him, and he's like, Dad, the trucks, and that looks so cool, and whatever, whatever. And I said to him, I said, when I get home, I'm going to buy a truck, and this is going to be me and you. And, you know, like every other 9-year-old, yeah, that sounds awesome, right? Well, 99.9% of the time, I'm talking out my ass or whatever, whatever. And when I came home, I said, fuck it, I want to do this. And so I started looking. I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about the sport. I didn't know the difference between a trophy truck or a freaking buggy or whatever, whatever. And so I found this truck on online, and I called one of my friends who at the time was one of the guys at the Nitro Circus. And I said, look, man, I don't know anything about this, but I found this truck. I'm going to meet this cat in Vegas, and I want to buy this truck. What do you think? And he's like, I'll go with you. So we literally grabbed a trailer and hooked it up to my truck, and we drove down to Vegas. He drove up from Cali. I had a wad of cash in my pocket, and I didn't know what I was getting. I just knew that it was kind of an entry level truck. I could race it. It was going to be good and best in the desert, whatever, whatever. And I literally handed this kid cash. I took the truck, put it from his trailer onto my trailer, and I looked at my buddy, and I'm like, all right, now what do we do? I'll never forget as long as I live. It was so fucking awesome. I'm texting my son and showing him pictures. He's like, yeah, Dad, awesome. So we drove it down to Lake Havasu, where he had a whole bunch of friends. And I mean, I didn't have a race helmet. I didn't know. I had nothing, like nothing. And so we went down there, and there's a whole crew of guys that are all big off-road racers down there. And we spent the weekend driving it. And I ended up wadding it up and rolling it about 3 hours after I freaking got in the truck. And we spent the next month, rebuilding the truck. But I gave my son my word. I said, I'm doing this because number one, I want to. I mean, it's kind of that thought process of who doesn't want to drive a freaking truck 100 miles an hour in the desert, right? Like, it's like we drove Tonka trucks as we were kids and yeah. Hot Wheels. And now I get to do it in real life. But I told my son, I said, you're going to co-drive with me every single race. I want you to be my co-driver. And he's 9. I mean, he can't even see over the freaking, you know, the GPS.
Yeah.
And so I went to my guys and I said, listen, this is what the deal is. And they're like, you know, okay, Sean, cool, cool, cool. Well, we ended up 2017, January 2017 at Parker, the Parker Ford 25. And as we're prepping for it and planning like the whole team, I went to these guys and said, I don't know anything about this. Just help me. And so we bought race suits and helmets and the whole nine. And I never forget, they sat me down. They said, Sean, like when we were planning the race, the pits and the whole thing, they said, we love the fact that you want to do this with your son, but you've literally never raced before. You don't know what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I have no fucking clue what I'm getting myself into. I said, but let me explain something to you. I gave my son my word that we were going to do this, and we're going to fucking do this. So you guys can either help me and make it as safe as possible, or I'm going to fucking do this, and you know that I'm going to do this. And they all kind of look at me. They're like, yeah, we know. And so we went down to Parker. I'd never raced, so I had about 3 hours of drive time total in my entire life behind the wheel of any kind of race vehicle at all. And I started the Parker 425 with my buddy, and we made it to pit A, and I'll never forget as long as I live pulling in there. And here's my 9-year-old son with the helmet that's like makes his head look freaking ginormous, and his little race suit. And we had a life preserver, one of those like life preservers yeah. that you buy at the store, the little orange dingy ones. That was what we could figure out to fit because the foam that we had didn't fit. And so he literally shoves a life preserver underneath the seat. You strap it all in. It's tucked in there. And I pull into the pit, and my son, who's 9 at the time, jumps in, and I'll never forget. I'm bawling like a baby behind. I'm in the middle of this race, and you know racing, right? It's intense and fast. I'm bawling like a freaking baby as I pull into this pit. And I'll never forget, like, they hook up his comms and tell me, I'm like, hey, man, can you hear me? He's like, yeah, Dad. And I just hear that squeaky little voice. And I was like, fuck it, let's go, man. And he knew how to read the GPS and tell me to go right or left. That was it. He was telling me right, left. He didn't know whether it was long, mid, you know, gear-wise. We didn't fuck around with it. And he was in the truck with me for about 2 hours, and he co-drove for me. And it was one of the coolest experiences that I've ever had to date as a father. And ever since then, he's co-driven every single race with me. And, you know, we went down to Mexico this year for the first time. I wanted to race Mexico last year without him, just because I didn't want family down there. I didn't want that, you know, and, you know, understand Mexico and the whole thing. So I just had the race team down there with me, and I promised him after I raced the 500 and 1,000 that then he would come with me. And so he came down to Mexico and raced the Baja 500. And on the way back, I'm like, how many kids? He's 12 now. Like, how many kids do you think have ever raced the Baja 500 at 12? And he goes back to school and shows kids these pictures and stuff. And that's really why Lions Not Sheep Racing came to be and where we are now. And now he's hooked on it, and he's been driving a Razor, and I might get him his own Razor to start racing and stuff. But that's how racing started for me, man. It all started with that trip down to Mexico.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy about off-road, you know. And I've got a lot of friends that have, you know, you can just take them to an off-road event, and, dude, it just gets its hooks in you. There's just something about this sport. I mean, I could take somebody to a sprint car race or something like that. They'd be like, oh, that's cool. But there's no, like, oh, it's fun to watch. But there's not like, oh, I got to go and try that shit. There's something about off-road, man, and you just go, and it's like, I got to be a part of this. Like, you know, it's like a drug, man.
We were kids. I mean, that's what we did, right? We went out in the back, and we found a dirt pile, and we made little jumps with our little Tonka trucks, and that's what I did as a kid. And now you're, like, you have those memories, and now all of a sudden it's real, and you get to put 800 horsepower and 38 inches of travel, like, at your fingertips, and you get to do 100 miles an hour in the dirt in a real truck. And it's like, what guy doesn't want to do that? You know, oh, I got hooked, man. The second that I was down there and I saw it, you already know that it's cool. Everybody sees, you know, BJ Baldwin's videos and it looks rad. Yeah, I'd love to do that. But then when you're there and you taste it, oh my gosh, dude, it got me hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what's rad about where the sport's at right now too, is your son, like, at 12, my daughter, she's almost 10, and she's got a little Razor 170 right now, and she's kind of about ready to graduate into a bigger one. But, like, with Razors and trophy carts, and there's so many opportunities for your son, you know what I mean, if he's passionate about it, you know what I mean, you get behind the wheel. I mean, when I was a kid, there was nothing, right? I mean, you just had to go into a big truck, you know, at some point.
We had big wheels, man. Yeah. We had big wheels, and we found the tallest hill that we could find, and we bombed down it. That's what we did as kids, you know? Like, we had big wheels. We didn't have any of this cool shit that we have nowadays.
No, not at all, man. But kids nowadays, like, it's just, there's so many opportunities for them. That's so rad. Like, I don't know. You tell me that story, and I'm kind of getting choked up about it, you know? It's like, wow, you know, it's like not many people get to experience something that special with their kid.
Yeah, and that's kind of part of what I'm doing with Lions Not Sheep, is I understand that, you know, some guys are you know, I know what it's like to be broke, man. I've been broke. Like, I went through a divorce and a bankruptcy, and I went from the top of the mountain, and some dudes are just trying to figure out how to, you know, afford a steak dinner, and I totally get that. I understand that. It doesn't matter whether you're driving a race truck with your kid, a Razor, whatever, or you're just taking them, you know, down to the freaking lake with a $5 fishing pole. It's the fact that, like, I'm spending this, I'm building these experiences and building this reality with my kid, you know, and not only is it fun as shit for me, cause I'm actually a halfway decent driver, and I'm pretty good at it, I found, but it's this experience where, you know, every single race, I find myself talking to my son about life and about vision and about dream. And, you know, there's all these cool dudes around us, and he gets to come and see, like, the name of my company on this truck, and he sees that, like, this didn't exist before and we built this, and he puts in work, man. He comes and he works on the truck and he's involved in it, and he sees that it takes a ton of prep and a ton of work, you know, to get the truck where it needs to be. And, you know, our truck ended up breaking down before 100 miles, and he saw that and experienced the dejection, and you know, we were kicking ass. We were freaking 16 and a half minutes up at mile 87, which is, like, huge. It's a huge distance between us and the rest of our field. And then he's standing there on the side of the course in the middle of Mexico in the godforsaken desert as the first truck in our class passes us. you know, and he sees me and he experiences that. And it's like, dude, you couldn't ask for better life lessons than real world shit. You know, not hypothetical. Yeah, kid, live your dreams while they watch me be a slave to somebody else. You know, that's the thing that's great about life and about being a father, is it doesn't matter if it's race trucks or fishing or hunting or, you know, just go out and build something in the garage, for Christ's sake. Go build a freaking, you know, a Pinewood Derby car together. You know, it's that.
You there? You there, Sean? You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I caught it cut off right there just a hair, but no, it's still recording, so cool. So, yeah, well, and I know one thing I've learned with my daughter, like you said, it's just spending time with them. Doesn't matter what the hell you're doing.
Right.
Like, find out their passions, you know what I mean? And, you know, and just spend time with them. I know one thing's been great for my daughter, just, and it's been, you know, here's a young girl, and, dude, we know the shit that's coming at young girls on social media with Instagram models, and just every time you log on social media, just, dude, it's become just almost a shit show. But, like, her just being able to be surrounded, you know, with some of my friends like Sarah Price or Jolene Van Vuitt, and she's seeing these powerful females that, you know what I mean, are out there and they're successful, and, you know, and she's seeing that as role models. And to me, that's been, like, for me and my daughter, that's been so amazing, you know what I mean, that she's able to experience, you know what I mean, these positive role models that are females, you know what I mean? So that's one thing that I've
totally
loved about the sport of off-road, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think what's huge about this too, man, and again, being a father, is like, you know, all dads are always telling their kids, you know, live your dream, live your dream, live your dream, go do this. The world is your oyster. It's all possible, right? But what are we doing?
Yeah.
This is something I firmly believe. And again, I understand that, you know, a dude might be just trying to freaking figure out how to afford a steak dinner. And it doesn't have to be a race truck or this or that or the other. But like, my dad always told me that. My dad was, you know, telling me to live my dreams and go for the moon and the whole thing. But yet he worked his ass off in this job that he didn't like. And I knew that he didn't like it because he talked about not liking it. But it was like this paradox of, well, dad, I mean, you know, you're not doing it. So what does that mean? Right. And I just figured out early enough in life as a father that, like, my kids are really smart, man. Like, I don't remember a whole lot of the stuff my dad told me, but I remember what he showed me. And I know that I'm not going to be any different. My kids are going to watch me grow. And it's like I was saying, like, my son watched our truck. He was in the truck at mile 87 in Mexico as it broke down. And he saw the dejection. He watched the other guys in the class come flying by it. But we were already so far ahead. And, like, that's real world stuff. Like, I could explain it to him and try and, you know, tell him about it. But he literally saw it firsthand. And to me, that's like, that's what's important about, you know, being a father is not just telling my kids that they can go do anything they want, but they watch their dad doing it. Cause, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy out there of, you know, guys who think, and I speak just to the guys, cause it's what I know, you know, talking about dreams and vision, but yet they're not doing it themselves. And our kids are going to see that, man. They're going to grow up. They're going to watch us. And you know, it's something I'm radically passionate about with my life.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Well, before we let you go, it's been a ton of fun. You and I could talk for a couple hours, I'm sure. But what's next for you, man? What's up next for Sean Wayman from the off-road standpoint, and then you know, for everything else?
So, you know, off-road. When I bought my truck, I had somebody, my buddy, who's got a trophy truck now, lives here in Utah. He's like, look, man, get two seasons under your belt before you move up, before you do something different. He's like, I raced Razors for 2 years before I bought my, you know, my $800,000 trophy truck. So my goal is to finish this year. We want to race Laughlin in Mexico. And then my goal is to move into a different class, either a 6100 or a trophy truck, you know, for next season. And just keep having fun, man. Keep racing, keep building the race team, which has been really, really, really fun for me, and growing Lions Not Sheep. So I want Lions Not Sheep Racing to be something that where dads can bring their kids out and their sons, and, you know, we could have big parties during these events, but I want to be able to help motivate dads and inspire them to, you know, spend more time with their kids. And so that's kind of my goal with Lions Not Sheep Racing. And then the same thing with the company, just continue to grow the company. And, you know, our message is spreading around the world, which is really, really, really cool. And, just continue to help people live, man, continue to help people open up and tell the truth and find something deeper, find something more meaningful. And you know, the goal is to make, make today better than yesterday. So that's my vision. That's my mission.
Dude, that's solid, man, for sure. Well, I think that's a good place to leave this at. Dude, much appreciated for coming on the show, Sean. We definitely need to do it again.
Absolutely, dude. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Man, Sean Whalen does not disappoint. Always fun catching up with him. Definitely check him out on social media, on the gram, and make sure and get a copy of his book. I definitely think you will not be disappointed. And speaking of not being disappointed, if you like my show, you're going to love Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana on Podcast One. You've seen Rob in the hit movie Night School with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish, but you can hear him every week on the funniest sports podcast around with co-host Sarah Tiana. Check out Riggle's Picks every Thursday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. You know, and the biggest names, biggest teams, and biggest moments are happening all month long in October. MLB playoffs is now here, along with all the incredible NFL and college football games. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. Use promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag. And make sure and give me a follow at JimBeaver15 on all forms of social media. Subscribe to Project Action as well as the Down and Dirty Radio Show. And make sure and check out my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, dropping on Tuesday, also here on Podcast One. Thank you guys once again for the support. I know the next couple of weeks we've got some banger interviews coming on Project Action. We've got my friend Matt DeAndrea with Adam Carolla's CarCast. He is going to be on the show right around SEMA time. We have Victoria Arlen. You know her from Dancing with the Stars. She's also an ESPN personality. We've got her. We've got Eddie Braun. He is the Hollywood stuntman with a new movie, Stuntman, that's coming out about him. He's the one who launched himself in Evel Knievel's rocket across Snake River Canyon. That is right. We got Eddie Braun on the show as well as some amazing guests lining up. Make sure and stay tuned to Project Action. We are blowing the roof off of things the next couple of weeks right here on Podcast One. Thanks for tuning in. Be safe. As always, game on.